Welcome to our first attempt at a podcast called Faith and Hustle. My name is Garrett Baker.
I'm Brian Hollingsworth.
And I'm Sean Bryan.
And we're going to figure this thing out.
One step at a time.
Welcome
back to Faith and Hustle podcast. This is a week after Father's Day, and we're sitting here talking in between cuts of some different episodes here. And we just get to talking about Father's Day versus Mother's Day and you know, some of the historic stuff behind it. And we said, you know what, we're going to impromptu do a Father's Day, a special episode for you guys. I know it's early on in the Faith and Hustle podcast, but we're going to try to get it dropped here as soon as we can. And we're going to do this one because of the quickness of trying to get it online. We're just going to do it uncut. So you're going to hear what we sound like when you absolutely have zero cuts. We're just going to throw it out there. And if you hate it, let us know. But here it goes. Let's talk about Father's Day.
So Father's Day 2024 recap. Like it was a UFC fight last Saturday. No. Okay. All right. I'm game. Let's go. Let's do it.
You
want me to go?
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely amazing.
You were the inspiration. I cut you off so we could start this recording.
I had a great Father's Day. My dad showed up an hour early, and my wife, we were going to go to Houston. My son had a jiu-jitsu competition, first competition tournament. I'm still learning all the stuff. First tournament, Father's Day, Sunday in Houston. And so dad showed up an hour early. We're all trying to go over to support him. Wife couldn't go, just got a couple dogs. And my daughter was going to try to make the trip with us. So there was nobody left to watch the dogs last minute. We couldn't do the whole kennel thing. It's the most boring detail ever. But it ended up working out where...
Land the plane, Nancy. Land the plane.
It ended up working. So the point of that is, it ended up working where my father and my son and myself drove over to Houston from Louisiana.
Sounds meant to be.
It turned out. And we got there early. We got there early enough to do some of those last minute, let's do it. So we hit a steakhouse and had some fillets and had some swordfish and had a great meal. And then while we're there, I got on my phone and booked some tickets to the new Bad Boys 3 movie or 4 or whatever.
Was it good?
4, yeah. Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah.
And so...
I hadn't seen that one.
Yeah. So,
is it good?
So we go hit the IMAX in Houston. And
chitty chitty bang bang.
Was it good? I got to watch them all, you know. And so I got all the Easter eggs. My son, I think... Yeah, Dad of the Year Award. I think you've seen the first two on, like, you know, FX edited on TV.
Gotcha.
And but you know, he's 16. He's doing jiu-jitsu. He's getting the real world here anyway. So, you know, I'm looking over at Dad's half asleep half the time. But then again, he's watching it. I don't think he really loved the first three quarters of it. But yeah, he got there at the end. He liked it.
It's his age group.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it wasn't realistic.
How old is your pup?
77, okay. 6, 7.
Yeah, yeah,
that's, we're close that's, enough. We're going to call it 77.
That's Generation Canyon.
Yeah. I mean, he was flying helicopters around, you know, Korea and Vietnam stuff.
When rap started, he was like, what's this noise?
Oh, he's still like that. It wasn't like when he started.
For sure.
I don't understand these young kids.
Yeah.
And then my boy is 16. I mean, he's just all over the place. What kind of music? I don't care, you pick. But he laughed. He liked it. And so, shared a bed with my 16-year-old son because we just split a room. Like, how often we do that? And we had all the jokes, you know, don't fart on me, Dad, or whatever. I mean,
well, pull the pole, hold the hole, but never pull the hole.
Yeah, amen. I mean, like,
well, three generations, right?
Yeah,
three generations awesome. Of Brian's hanging out.
Oh, we're just rolling through, and we are just, you know, just living the high life in Houston, right? And so we get there, we get up the next morning, we go to the jiu-jitsu competition, and absolute terror on my part. Like, I'm watching, like, my son's fixing to go fight for real. Like, we've been practicing this stuff and he's fixing to go fight for real.
It was on like Father's Day weekend.
Oh yeah, there's like 18 mats going. This is a national competition.
You know the coolest part?
It's at the NRG stadium, right? So
your dad is a CPA. That, when you went into business for yourself, that's how he felt,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
My son's about to get in the real world.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, he's about to get it.
But, you know, he studied karate in Korea under a Korean karate or taekwondo. If I get it right, I think it's taekwondo over there. And
the Asian guys that know are mad at you right now for the record.
I'm sure. And I apologize because I'm hanging out with the Brazilians. But But
how many is a Brazilian?
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot, all right, Joe.
How many millions is that?
Oh my gosh, a Brazilian! A Brazilian people done.
I think that's a. I think that's something you can order at the salon.
All right, bad dad jokes. Look, it's Father's Day episode. We're doing dad jokes today.
So we go through, and he gets his butt handed to him in his first tournament. And learned a lot. I mean,
that's exactly what should happen in your first, attempt at anything, right?
He almost went the distance before he tapped out. And I'm watching this kid just choke him out. And I'm like, oh god, this is anxiety. I'm standing on the rail, and I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Oh, so helpless as a parent.
But he comes back and he wins his second round. It's a round robin, and he gets silver and his first tournament. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
And,
it's awesome.
And you know, and then he moved up a weight class for the no gi, so he's fighting with a gi, and then he's fighting without a gi, or rolling, or competing. And, man, there's like five or six guys. We moved him up a weight class so he could fight, and they were all there. And they didn't – I don't know if they saw this little 116-pound kid in the 120 to 134-pound and got scared, or
likely not.
That's the story we're going to say.
Let's stick to it.
Anyway, the lady walks over. She's like, all right, Noah, all right, so let's go get your medal. They did not show up to the mat on time, and he got gold in the next weight class. And then we came home, and we listened to one of our podcasts on the way home. So that was my Father's Day experience. I was tired going. I was tired coming back. It had been a long week, but absolutely one of the best Father's Days I've had. So that's my experience on it.
So you had a really memorable Father's Day.
It was excellent.
Three generations together.
Yes.
You know,
16, 41, and 76.
Well, you know, the good thing about it is, you know, I don't, you know, like to say that, you know, Garrett and I have both, our dads aren't still around. And the opportunity to be able to have him see your son compete, you know, see him fail and then see him win, you know, that's super cool. It's something that you know, I think, ironically, one of the last text messages I got from my dad or conversations I had with him, he was with my son at a baseball tournament, 10, 11 years old, something like that, when he passed away. And, I know he got an opportunity to see him when he was young, but, you know, he just graduated high school now. And it's one of those things I'm like, dang it, man. Like, dad would love this. He was an athlete in high school. He loved sports. And man, I know he would have really enjoyed watching Jackson play. He had the same fiery temperament that I had. That's a memory that y'all are going to look forward to, you know, forever. You're going to think back on that day. Like, you made a memory for a lifetime, no question.
Absolutely. Like, you absolutely made it. Like, I'm kind of jealous right now.
Me too.
Because I didn't get those opportunities with my dad. My last text message from my dad was, bring the Polydent. And I will show y'all.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. Like,
dude, I lost all my text messages.
You saved the text message.
I didn't save it. It's still in my phone. Like, watch. Oop, here you go. I fat finger everything.
While he's looking that up, man, I'll tell you, you know, look, for all you out there that don't have your dads.
Read it. Read the bottom text.
Oh, my goodness.
Bring me the Polydent.
Oh, man, too late. Hey, bring a tube of Polygrip dental adhesives.
Extra strength.
Oh,
extra
my strength. Gosh.
That's my last text message from my pop, man. Like, when he.
Why do we fixate on that as humans?
Well, I don't know, man.
Because who cares? Like, you know, man. We always – the first thing that happens when a loved one dies, no matter who they are, what was the last thing I said to them? You said a gazillion other things, you know.
Right. Yeah. I had it.
Well, no, but the text message below before it, like my dad had just had a massive heart attack, and I'm not trying to be cynical with it, but he was like, you don't need – like I said, I'm heading there now. He said, you don't need to do that. Bella's with the Murphys. I should be out in 2 to 3 days if everything gets well. Like, that's who my dad was, though, in his whole life. So, like, I have to try to be that, like, I've never been the positive guy. Brian knows, you've known me for a...
Yeah, Eeyore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not Eeyore. I'm not depressed.
No,
but
no.
I'm like,
you're cynical.
I am very cynical. Like, I am waiting for I am looking for someone to betray me. I'm looking for something to fail.
You got a little bit of defensive game going on.
Yeah, yeah. But since my pop passed, I know that I have to take on those characteristics of him that I seen as weak. Right? I was like, that's a weakness, sir. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be so forgiving. You shouldn't be so whatever. You shouldn't be. And, like, at the same
sweep
time.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah,
sweep
the leg. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's a
Karate Kid reference.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's been really, like, the last couple of years has been very interesting. But this is my second year without my pop. So, for Father's Day. So, it was like, it was very, because he would come down here, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. He would come down here. We would cook some steaks or do whatever we would do. We'd be out there, and
so he'd come down for Father's Day.
Yeah, he'd come down for Father's Day. He would always.
So y'all had a tradition. That's cool.
We did. No, we had a lot of traditions, like Good Friday, all those things. Like, those things are the hardest parts when you lose your pop or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But, like, so, yeah. But he would giggle kind of because I'm out here slaving over this grill. He's like, hey, we should do this. Like, that takes 8 hours to cook over 450 degrees.
Couchon du lait or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, what's the most difficult thing I can make my son do?
It's Father's Day,
yeah. But he would come down, he would hang out, and we would just have a cool day, and then he would go back. But, it was crazy, though, because it got to the point where we were timing it. We were timing Father's Day around our vacations. So we would take a vacation, me and Tammy, it was our unplugged time, and we would have our kids stay with, my dad would come down once he got retired, and he would stay with the kids. You know what I mean? So, like, it's crazy because that was like, I never got to have the three generations in the same room talking noise, you know what I mean? Or farting on each other, or, you know what I mean?
Being dudes. Yeah. And I'm with you. And look, I miss this story. I love you, Father. I love you, Dad. But, like, I went to the bathroom and I walked out, and one of them's like,
"He burnt your nuts.
You didn't stink it up in there. I got to go in there next." And then they're laughing at each other because my dad leaned over in the little office chair in the hotel room and fell, like, behind the corner of the desk and got trapped, and they had to rescue each other. Oh, I'm like, gosh. Why are you laughing at him? He's old, you know?
Oh, my God.
But he's like, no, he's fine. He can still bench press 300 pounds, and they're ragging on each other hard. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, who are these people?
That's awesome, though.
It is. And I think that's pretty cool that you had that. You know,
yeah, no, so I,
no,
I
here, said, here's a hot dog, Dad. You get a hot dog this year.
Yeah, no, I never got to do that. He would not eat a hot dog. My father would not eat a hot dog. But I like,
he's from New York and he don't eat a hot dog?
No, they ain't Michigan. Like, they ain't Michigan. It's like this weird sauce that, it's not weird, it's actually really good. It's this spaghetti sauce that they call, it's like a chili spaghetti sauce type thing.
But they put on a hot dog.
But they don't eat. They don't eat our hot dogs. They eat these Redskin hot dogs that, like, when you bite into it, they
those are nasty, man.
No. These bad boys are phenomenal. Hey, so if they're listening, Glacier Dogs, we need y'all to send a pack. So these, you know,
Glacier Dogs, anything like a Lucky Dog.
So no. You're saying these Cajuns down here? You know, I mean, that sounds terrible to me.
No. They're totally kosher. They're in this red casing.
I'm not Jewish.
They string together. Well, that's how you know. Okay, that it's so all like beef.
I got you.
So like on the old cartoons, the little
yes, they were string together. Like, hey, these dogs are phenomenal.
I thought that. I guess I just thought that was old timey. I didn't think that.
No,
was a
they
thing.
Still.
That's a real thing,
dude. You pull one out of the box, and all of them will come. They're all tethered together.
Okay,
I'll try. It looks like little sticks of dynamite.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, what they're were you saying?
Dogs. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah. No. So my father would not. He like, I'm not cooking him a Nathan's hot dog.
Well, see, Father's Day is never big in our family, right? It wasn't historically big. I mean, dads usually cook on Father's Day. Like, here you go. You get to go grill. Usually grill, right? Whatever we're grilling. You know, it's funny. We had a we talked about three generations together. I mean, it's gonna be a depressing story. I just here it is. But you know, so we I went to a benefit, like a charitable benefit, and we bought a hunting trip to Alabama, to this really nice place outside of Selma, Alabama. and they were, you know, it was for three people. And my dad was there when we were there. And it was my one time that he got to see a little bit of my success, all right? It was still early in my career, but I had a little bit of change in my pocket. And, you know, it was one
you
of
got
my
to pay.
I got to, oh, yeah, you got to pay. I got to bid on this. And
it's
I
like
said,
the first
hey,
time you buy the turkey for Thanksgiving.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Big deal. The first, yeah, exactly, exactly. So, and I, you know, I got to, you know, whatever I paid for it, I don't remember, $3,000 or something. You know, it wasn't super expensive, right? But I'm like, you know, I got this and it's for three. And it was, I'm like, that's cool, man. When, you know, this was in the spring. I said, next fall, we're going to go meet you and Jackson, you know, and Jackson hadn't killed a deer yet. And it was going to be his first experience. And of course, dad passes away, you know, a month or two later. And one of my big regrets is, man, we didn't get to do that trip together that we had planned. I didn't get to have three generations.
But did you and Jackson go?
Yeah, we went with a family friend, and he ended up killing his first deer, and it was good. But it's something I'm always like now, you know, on Father's Day and stuff like, man, it's like I miss all the things that could have been, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is we went fishing together. We had three generations of Hollinsworth together. He had a great relationship with him. So I find that Father's Day now, you know, is – I've gotten to the stage of grief where you're past, you know, I'm not going to say, I mean, look, every once in a while, right mood, right time. Yeah.
Ugly cry
for no apparent reason.
Hey, but that Jelly Roll song, that I'm not okay.
I haven't heard it. Don't send it to me.
No, he's not even talking about his dad. He's actually talking about addiction. But when I heard the song, I was like, man.
Dude, like, I heard
ugly cry.
Yeah, man, I heard. What's the guy that sings all about his dad all the time? There's a country singer out there. I'll remember it. Cole Swindell.
Yeah.
Oh man, dude, his songs. His dad passed away, and he's got some dad songs, man. 10 out of 10, do not recommend that if your dad just passed. Don't listen to him. But no, it's something that you know, from an entrepreneur and a faith and hustle standpoint. He passed away about the time I was reconnecting to God, and he hasn't been able to see. I actually believe that people can see down from heaven, but he hasn't been able to see, man, some of the success that I've had, some of the wins that I had. Right. And I often think about how much he'd be cracking up, like, dude, are you really that successful? That's hilarious. You know, I would never guessed, you know, man, yeah. Good for you. You know,
well, or he'd be knocking it, you know?
Oh yeah. Be making fun of me and stuff.
My dad would always question like, hey, yeah, like, yeah, do you really know what you're talking about? Or, like, is this just a, how do you know to do this? It got to the point where, like, at a certain point in our lives, look, this is the thing that, it's crazy because it relates to exactly, that's what I posted on Father's Day for my pop. You can read it, like.
So when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And when the student is truly ready, the teacher will disappear.
Yeah. So that's when generationally we're supposed to pass the baton.
So yeah. that leads into one here, and I'd heard this before. I don't know who Bobby Axelrod is. He goes by Axe, so shout out to him for this one. But a boy never really becomes a man until he's buried his father.
Mm.
And so that's kind of the spirit of that. And I'm hearing y'all talk, and I'm trying to not – cry.
you know,
ugly cry, like Brian says, but I'm not ready to be a man.
Well, y'all wait. I'm going to do it eventually.
I am not ready to be a man, but I wanted to use this to kind of transition here to, okay, what does it mean to be a father on Father's Day? We've talked about our experiences or lack of experiences with our fathers or generational stuff, and I appreciate y'all giving me that first story to tell. Because I cherish that this Father's Day. They've been always been that way, and they won't always be that way, but this one I cherish. But moving forward, what does it mean? And y'all can speak to me and the audience. What does it mean to be a father when you are the patriarch?
Man, that's good. So first thing, here's something I want to say, and I didn't think about it until you said that. One of the biggest things for a man that I don't think we talk enough about, that I was shocked, is we don't prepare ourselves for the death of our father. I remember I looked for books afterwards. Like, I was struggling, right? And I struggled for years, and I don't want to get deep into that. We can have one about that, you know, a podcast about that later on. But man, I was shocked at how little information it is out there to help men cope with the deaths of their fathers.
Well, we are the strong, silent type, and you know, we're there. We carry that burden.
Absolutely. So here's the truth of the matter. I've got a mother and I've got two sisters. My father dies. You go to a dark place, but you don't go there first. First thing you try to do is you try to fill your father's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not meant to that. We are not enough. Man, I write this. We are not enough. I cannot fill my father's shoes with my mother. And I've got to watch the people that I love the most absolutely be gutted and go through this depression. And men, we can't fix it. And we weren't meant to fix it. I cannot fill my father's shoes with my sisters. I cannot be their security, and I cannot be their rock like he was. I can be a different form, right? I can try to, but I'm not. And the failure on top of the depression, man, really sent me to some dark places. And I don't mean to go too dark on you guys.
No, but I want to ask a serious question here. It's been a couple episodes, but we talked probably 3 weeks ago about imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you why you couldn't step into the – what stopped you from stepping into that role? And, yes, that is a leading question. I know exactly what I'm saying by that. But what was the blockers that stopped you from stepping into that role early on? What was the hesitation?
Well, it's because I wasn't him. I mean, I wasn't meant to. I wasn't equipped to. I was not the patriarch at that time.
No.
And you know, I think – man, I don't want to get too deep into it, but yeah, I to answer the short version, your answer is because I was not him. I was not him, and I was never meant to be him.
What's your thoughts on this?
Man, previously, before my pops passed away, you know, I guess I would be the tough guy of the family. I'd be the muscle of the family. I'd be the dude that kept everything in order.
If right? I saw you on the street, I would kind of. Yeah. Now.
I wouldn't fight you.
Nah. But to my pop, you know what I mean? Like my pop, I guess it was the order of succession, right? And I didn't understand how everything was working out and all that. And still to this day, I'm not the patriarch of my family. My Uncle Dick is the patriarch of my family, and I have to say that for everybody, you know, that's listening. Like if he calls me and he tells me, like, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to do. Because he's the boss, and I'm not the boss. But, when the exit of my pops was like, it was the same thing, man. I was stuck in this realm where things were supposed to be taken care of that wasn't taken care of. You know what I mean? It made me question my father, you know? Like, my father said that, like, this was going to be this way, this was going to be this way. And, like, I held my dad in such high esteem. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, like, he wasn't perfect?
No, he wasn't perfect. And but at the same time, if something was to happen to me right now, like I got things that's not buttoned up.
You're not perfect either?
I'm not
perfect. You're not perfect either. I'm not perfect. Are you perfect, Brian?
But I have
I got a lot of things that ain't buttoned up.
I have more fail safes in place now than my father did. Yeah. But it was I can't be like without divulging too much of personal family stuff. It was things that I was like, hey, there's no need for that anymore. You're good right here. You got this going on. Like, this isn't, you know. But, man, it was crazy because, like, there was, like, it's crazy to see how vulnerable my pop was. Because I had to see everything. I had to go through everything. Like, I had to figure it all out. And my dad... I'm not going to say he was an imposter, but he wore a mask. He like, so the crazy thing is that I have like my uncles, my aunts.
So after he passed and you had to take care of his, you know, affairs, if you will.
Yeah.
You found out some things about your father that weren't perfect and that he didn't have buttoned up. And
it wasn't as good as he said it was.
Okay. I think we all want to be – we want our kids to think a little bit better of us than what we probably are, right?
And that's the cool thing is like now I know how to set the expectations with my daughter and my son.
Yeah. You know I wish I'd have had a conversation. Tell me what you think about this. I wish I had a – Dad and I, he was my mentor and he was the best man at my wedding. You know, we had a good relationship, right? You know, we hung out, fished, hunt, you know, He was the guy I came to for advice. And, man, I wish we'd have talked about his death. Oh, we never talked about what happens if I die. And the only thing we ever said is, like, don't let me be a vegetable. Unplug that goddamn machine. I don't care what they say. Go step on the hose. You know?
You know, that's so...
It's my fault.
Why don't we talk to our... Why don't we prepare our children for our deaths?
With my pop, it was my fault. 100% my fault.
Why was it your fault?
100% my fault. My father tried to give me his will 100 times. My father tried to talk to me about...
You didn't want to have that conversation.
I didn't. Because I looked at my dad like... I didn't think he was immortal. But I was like, he got at least 80 in him. You know what I mean? I didn't think 72 was going
to
be...
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to think of those morbid things.
Had a conversation. He was the baby of the family.
I just had a conversation recently with some family members. And they're married, didn't have children. And guess who gets to... have these conversations. So I'll roll in there like, all right, let's do the business side of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
About this, and they start spitting out like, okay, yeah, there's a life insurance policy here, there's a burial policy here, there's a long-term care policy here, I got a credit card over here, I spent more than I should have over here. Okay, so putting the power of attorney, we want to be cremated. And this and this and this. I'm like, okay, so, and I didn't even think about it. I'm like, okay, so legally the power of attorney is only good till you stop breathing. Then the will picks up, so we need to put that in the will. And they're like, well, we don't put it there anyway. And I'm like, and it kind of hits me. I'm like, we're having the death conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this wasn't even an issue 3 days ago. Mm. Oh, and yeah, and this happened since the great Father's Day weekend. This isn't Father's Day. And so it has brought to... I mean, this is a whole conversation we can go deep dive into.
Yeah, yeah.
It's around Father's Day.
And look, you know what?
And this is the most important Father's Day conversation.
It's not what I expected, Baker.
This is not where we were going.
This is supposed to be fun.
To be a good leader and to be the patriarch, there has to be an order of succession. There has to be a decree.
Look, I'm 46 years old. I don't have it right now, and I know how important it is. Man, I need to step into that. Like, I haven't had the conversation with her. Because you know what? I felt like an orphan. I felt ill-prepared, man.
Told you that.
Yes, like, man. When you said it, like, I felt like...
I froze.
It's like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm an orphan. I'm not prepared for this.
I'll be fair. I lost the over under on that one.
I can't wait till that episode comes out. But carry on, guys.
Yeah, so dealing with my recent family members.
I'll put it all over Facebook.
Dealing with this and being brought into it. Up to this point, my attitude towards death was, hey, I'm going on a long bike ride. Let me go ride my bicycle down the highway. And, you know, well, be careful. I mean, I'm really worried about you getting hit. I'm like, well, don't worry about me. I've got this little flashy light that I put on the back of my bicycle, and, you know, you can see it from 3 miles.
Yep.
And so if they see that, I'll be safe. And if they don't, it's not my problem anymore. I've got a great term policy. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll have plenty of money.
I got money.
But
we got a life insurance policy. You're good.
You're going to be fine. You're back. You're going to be better off.
But we never talk about the emotional aspect of it.
A log truck smokes me on my bicycle. You're better off.
Just don't buy a whole life annuity.
And her response is...
Another episode, Garrett. That's another episode.
Yeah.
I'll bring my boy Todd Blanchard on.
Whoever
to talk about
sold
that.
My father a whole life annuity, when I find out who signed it.
Y'all want to talk about reverse mortgages?
I'm going to cut your toes off.
Let's talk about reverse
mortgages. No. All right. Stay on topic.
So we're 28-ish minutes into this unedited Father's Day recap, and we have gone into Pandora's box of topics we can talk about as responsibilities as fathers. But I would like to kind of lighten it up a little bit. Let's spin this thing around. I want that. I'll go when y'all are ready. Y'all pick. But let's tell some good stories. Let's tell some funny. And it doesn't have to be this year, but you know, I told my story about this being an excellent Father's Day.
I've got a great
dad fell out of the chair. My son's worried about me. Hold a hole. Yeah. I mean,
Get it right.
This one's for dad. Here we go. Father's Day story. This one's for dad. And the guys out there that are listening to this podcast, they're part of our deer hunting camp. Man, if you know, you know.
There's not a better story that starts out. We were at the deer camp. And
so we had this little deer camp in a little bitty, right outside of a little town called Maryville, Louisiana, or Bancroft, really, right outside of a little bitty town called Bancroft. We had it for about 12, 13 years. And Dad brought his camper up there. We'd been out there for years. And Dad would stay up there a lot during the week. We'd only go up on the weekends. It's probably 30, 45 minutes away from where we live. So we'd go up on the weekends because we were, you know, working. And he worked offshore 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So with his 2 weeks off, he'd live up there. You know, he'd stay up there. And, man, him and my mom would stay up there a lot. And, man, I remember one weekend we came up there. And we got – I took the Friday off. And so after the Friday morning hunt, you know, I go around – and I'm going to fill up my feeders for the rest of the weekend. You know, I'm, you know, so I got, you know, 5 or 6 sacks of corn and, you know, and went to my feeders. I took the four wheeler and man, there I go. And I come back and it's hot, you know, it's early season. It's early season. We might've been bow hunting. I don't remember. And no, cause Dad don't muzzleloader or anything. He don't bow hunt. He's too big and lazy to do that. Anyway, so I go out there and it's midday. It's hot. It's hot. And man, I go and dump man. I come back. Dad's sitting on the porch. I had a little portable building camp, and he had his camper. And he's sitting on my porch in my camp, and he is drenched in what looks to be sweat. I mean, from head to toe. My dad was a big grizzly bear of a man. I'm talking about, you know, if y'all know what G-Bake is, you know, G-Bake, you know, what, give me your what?
He said 280 earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay, so.
4'7".
So my dad was probably
5'6", 280.
Yeah, so my dad was probably 5'10", probably.
With 32-inch pythons, bro.
Yeah, yeah, he was big like you, too. He's probably 350, 360, right? He's a big old boy. And about 5'10", 5'11". Anyway, bear of a man, hairy, bald-headed. And he always wore bib overalls. I'm talking about country, man.
It's because he worked
offshore. Blue jean bib overalls. That's
right.
Did
he tuck them into his boots, or did he cover over the boots?
Most of the time over, but every once in a while he tuck them.
Okay.
Every once in a while he tuck them. But most of the time over.
It was situational.
It was situational.
Depends on how deep it was.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, man, we were sitting there, and he was sitting there, and he was panting. You know, actually, he was more like, and I'm like, Dad, what's, you know, I thought he'd been like working out. I'm like, what are you trying to work out, man? Like, what's going on? I'm like, Dad, what's going on, man? You okay? Well, goddamn, does it look like I'm okay? I'm sorry, please. Any curse words I say, this is the story, is what happened. And I'm like, well, I don't know, dude. I mean, what's the matter? Look like you're about to pass out. Well, goddamn, yeah, I'm about to pass out. And I'm like, dude, what is that smell? Freaking reeks. Well, I bet it does reek. And he's mad at me. And I'm like, what are you, dude, is there something I need to do now? You call 911? I mean, no, hell no, you don't need to call 911, you smart ass. And I'm like, Dad, dude, you are freaking sopping wet and stinks around here. What is going on? He's like, I had to crawl under that goddamn trailer to hook up the hose to dump the sewage tank. And I pulled the goddamn thing and the hose wasn't on all the way. And it just dumped all over me. I got dang. And now I'm like, dude, I started crying, laughing. I'm like, are you kidding? And he was like, go over there. And look, I walk around the other side of the trailer. He's got this little portable like tank that you connect to it, and you connect to the tank, and then you can pull it. It's on wheels.
They call it a honey pot, but it's not honey.
It's a little So it's this little tank that he's supposed to pull off into the woods and go dump, but he dumped it all over himself. He's like, God damn, it was hitting me in the face and everywhere else. And then, so look, we all come back, and everybody was going to fill up their feeders. I was the first one that was back. There's 3 or 4 of us up there, and I can't stop laughing. He's like, oh, it's effing funny. He ate it. I'm like, Dad, I'm sorry. Dude, I'm so sorry. He's like, oh, I bet you. So I had to go over there and get lime. We had some lime out there and pour it all on the ground because, dude, it stunk so bad. And so for the rest of the day and for the rest of our lives, oh, man, sure is a crappy day, ain't it, Dad? Man, you know, and Dad say something, and I'd be like, Dad, you know, you got a shitty attitude. And, dude, it was everybody was crapping poop jokes.
It was an icebreaker.
Oh, my gosh, dude, we cried all weekend long making these poop jokes. And it was mad the first day. And by the second day, he started laughing at it, too, because we got pretty creative with how we'd use it.
Yeah.
And, oh, dude, it was – Man, it's one of those ones that I cry thinking about, and I know a couple guys, you know, Matt Gillespie and Davies, some guys are out there, man, Jeff and Hootie and the boys. But anyway, man, you guys know the guys that were out there. We just had such a great time. And my dad was fun-loving. He could laugh at himself, but he was so mad it made it even funnier. You know, man, it was one of those ones I'll never forget till the day I die. Just one of those fun memories, you know. So Father's Day story that's just funny, you know, he just – that was my dad's crappy day.
Yeah.
And his crappy attitude and his crappy misdemeanor, like, you know, man, his weather sure is – kind of poopy, ain't it? You know, just everything.
So in order for me to be 100% transparent, I'm going to ask for, like, full forgiveness from the listeners and, like, no judgment.
You know, forgiveness is easier found than permission.
Yeah. Well, I just need everybody to understand that I am not perfect, and, you know, at any time in my life. But so...
We have this edit button.
Yeah, no.
No, we're not editing this.
No, we're not.
This
oh, we're unedited. Yeah,
this is raw,
unedited.
Baby.
This is raw. Right. So we went to Jamaica, and... like me
wait, and Tammy. Hang on. How many stories start out with we went to Jamaica?
No, me and Tammy went to Jamaica. My dad stayed back with the kids, and it was over the time period that we were going to be on our honeymoon and stuff like that.
So
or not
was,
our honeymoon.
So it was kind of around Father's Day.
It wasn't
Day.
Our honeymoon. It was our anniversary. My bad. I'm like tripping.
What's the difference?
Yeah, that's big difference. It's a way big difference. Honeymoon. Okay. Yeah.
All right, carry on. So you're in Jamaica with Tammy, and your dad's back at home with the kids.
He's back at home with the kids. We're FaceTiming them and everything, and then we come back, and Father's Day is coming. It's upon us, right? Mm-hmm. So I never realized how close, like, my anniversary is to Father's Day.
Okay.
So we come back, and this is actually my dad's last Father's Day with me. So, like, that's why it's iconic and it's hilarious. So at this time, like, I was having trouble sleeping, so I had some of these, like, it wasn't melatonin, but it was a different type of gummy, if you know what I mean. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yes. It's the recreational kind of gummy is what we're talking about here?
Yes.
All right, I got
so
you.
So there were some high dosage ones, right? So,
Oh, I'm sure you're an expert.
So we're like, it's Father's Day, and we're getting ready for, you know, we're cooking. My dad was like, hey, you know what would take the edge off? One of those gummy things you always talk about. And I'm like, all right, Pop, I'm going to prepare you. The things right here, they're pretty potent. They're rough. Like, you don't want this whole thing.
Did
right
he give
here.
The old, oh, let me tell you about back in.
He was like, boy,
we were in Woodstock, man.
No, my dad literally went to Woodstock. My dad parked his car and walked 3 miles to Woodstock. My daddy was at Woodstock.
That's cool. That's a cool story. That's about
the first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The original. Yeah. The original Woodstock. My dad was at
So he was ready for some gummies.
Yes. So, like, I was like, you just need to take half. So I give it to him and doesn't have enough time.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
hour and a half later.
Yeah.
Before,
I'm like, hey, chill out. He's like, man, this
it's thing, weak.
Yeah, this ain't working. Like, I can't, because my dad was not, he was from upstate New York, so he never sounded like, boy, this thing ain't working. I wish he did, though.
My dad's from Reeves, Louisiana, so he kind of sounded like that. Yeah.
But he was like, son, you lied to me. Like, I didn't lie to you, Dad. I didn't lie to you.
Just give it some time.
So there was I kept the other half out there, and I was like, look, man, after a certain time period, I was like, go ahead, eat that other part.
Yeah, get hot.
You had enough at this point.
It was hot outside. We were swimming in the pool. Everything was going on. Like, and I was like, if you want to take it, because, like, I see that where this is going. So he takes it, and all of a sudden it hits him. He was like, whew. I was like, yeah, all right. He said, I'm going to go inside, and I'm going to watch TV. So it's like, go ahead, Pop. It's cool in there, you know. I know it's hot outside. Blood pressure medicine and all that. You're sweating.
Yep.
And so I walk, like, as luck would have it, 15, 20 minutes later, I had to go inside to go use the restroom. And I walk in, and I was like, Pop, what are you doing? And he's sitting there on my couch, and he was staring at my TV. He said, I'm watching TV. I said, Dad, you want me to turn the TV on? He's like, it's not on? I said, no, it's not on. He's like, please turn it on so I could take a nap. And I was like, cool. Boom, turned it on. And that was like, but it was kind of that was how much trust he had with me, you know what I mean? That, like, he could let himself get, you know?
No, no doubt. Yeah.
So it's I'm not making fun of him at all, but it was like that's one
that's
of my
pretty funny.
Me and Tammy tell that like we talk about it all the time. Like remember that day? I was like, hey, you don't want to do this.
Like, I've never watched TV and the TV not be on.
The TV
I'm just
was
saying,
not on.
I've never been that happy.
Yeah, the TV was watching him.
He was starting to get paranoid.
Yeah, he didn't even know yet. He was just sitting there, and like when I walked in, he just, the look he gave me, I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
he said, "I'm watching TV. You want me to turn this TV on?"
He didn't have a crappy day. He had a happy day.
He had a great day. No, he was like, he, man, like. But that was the cool thing is like that was the day that I tried to get him to stay with me. You know what I mean? And so I mean that was in June, and then everything happened in December. So I always wish he would have stayed.
Man, you know that's human nature. Well, and I don't, and I know we're about ready to wrap up this episode. But here's another thing I'll say about Father's Day and just fathers that have passed. It's not your fault.
Yeah,
man, my dad had a heart attack as well, and then he was actually staying at my house when he had his heart attack. Garrett, you know the story, but yeah. I have access to AEDs. I have access to all kind of things because I run medical clinics, and man, we think our dads are invincible, right? Yeah. You know, like, that's why we don't have those conversations like we talked about before. But I was making fun of my dad when he was in there. I took a picture of his little fall risk. He had a wristband that said fall risk on him. And I sent it out in a group text with our family. Help, I've fallen. I can't get up. You know, my big, strong dad, you know.
Yeah.
And I was clowning him, you know, because, you know, he just had a little heart attack.
He just thought he was going to shake back.
Yeah, man. You overweight. You fat, man. Freaking start eating right. Take your cholesterol meds. You'll be all right. You know. So he was at my house and he had that. And for a long time, I was like, why didn't I have AED? You know, it can get dark. I can tell the story, but you know, I beat myself up. But now it's been 8 years. I have a little bit more time to reflect and go, man, it doesn't matter. If it wasn't that, it'd been somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't beat yourself up. If it didn't happen right then, you had the AED, it happened a year or six months after, man. Like same thing for you, man. You can't like whatever it is that you think in your head that is your fault. Anybody who's listening, it's not your fault.
So. You know? The what's funny is as you say stuff like that, but like if I could tell all stubborn fathers that are listening right now this one thing, if you meet the ambulance at the end of the driveway, it does not save you any money from going inside the house. Because my dad suffered a massive heart attack and walked to the end of the driveway because he heard that it was a margin of he was
like
gonna
you save a couple hundred bucks.
He was gonna save 60% of the money of them having to come into the house get him out, extract him out of the house.
Oh, so Tammy's right about that baker, that generational tightness.
Yeah. Like the frugalness is generational. But my father told me that I was like, Dad, why? Like you met them at the end of the driveway. He said, yeah, I wanted to save y'all some money if I don't make it through. It's like, that's the craziest thing. Oh so to all the fathers listening, you don't save any money. Let them come to in the house. You relax there, you know.
So we're wrapping it up. And so I did not expect this. Honestly, I didn't expect any of this. And that might be the theme of it. We never expect the next transition in life, but – and I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of my story. I mean, like, we're sitting there with three generations, and I'm looking at the past, present, and future, and that can go from first to last or last to first, however you want to describe it. But one of the greatest takeaways I've got from this is that last text that you sent was the dental cement.
I got you, dog.
I got you, dog. K, the letter K, whatever it is. That does not... That last conversation doesn't summarize the relationship.
No.
Live in the moment. Father's Day is a day. And so, I'm a triathlon guy, so I'm going to go all the way back, and I can't help it. But look, that's what they say about Ironman. What winners aren't made on the day of the race. They're simply recognized for the rest of the year worth of effort and dedication to it. So, to the fathers out there that have fathers and the fathers that are fathers and the fathers that are going to be fathers, just enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is the
absolutely.
Only thing I have to share with this. Just enjoy the moment.
Make those memories, man.
Remember those memories. Yeah. And you can't buy them. You can only – there's no sacracefice for time. So, well, hope you all had a great Father's Day. This is our recap. this is ours. It gets to be us because we're the ones with the microphone. But also, just encourage you to take some time to reflect on your own time. And y'all have a wonderful
Happy
week.
Father's Day.
And to all the mothers out there, we love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, and before we go, if anybody has an idea, if we struck a chord with anybody about a topic that you may want us to discuss, feel free to comment in the below and just let us know. We'd love to have your feedback.